ESPN Cleveland. Breaking news.
Hello there to Robert Griffin III. The Browns have signed free agent quarterback RG3. And I quote Browns Executive Vice President of Football Operations, Sashi Brown. Now, quote, "We are excited to add Robert to our team. Robert possesses a unique skill set at the quarterback position. He has played at a high level in this league and is intent on doing everything in his power to return to that level on a consistent basis. After meeting with him, having him work out for us, and doing our diligent research, we felt it was right to grant him an opportunity with our organization. We're able to see and feel his passion and commitment to reestablishing himself as a starting quarterback in this league and his embrace of the hard work that will be essential to his development. We've been clear on the importance of improving and stabilizing the quarterback position for our franchise. We have said that the draft is and will be our primary focus, but we'll always look to complement the draft through free agency, and this is one of those examples. We look forward to working with Robert and getting him in the building with his teammates at the start of the offseason program on April the 4th, saying, RG3, I'm excited about the opportunity to join the Dog Pound and help build something here in Cleveland. Coach Hugh and Pep, I had a great meeting with them. I really believe in what they preach and how they can not only help me as a player, but this team win games, and that's what it's all about. I'm just excited to come in and compete. Nothing has ever been given to me in life, so I just want to go out and compete with the guys and grow with this team. I feel like that's all I'm really focused on. I cherish the opportunity to get another chance to play this beautiful game." As we've talked about this coming all week, we've been saying, if this happens, I like it. Number one, I've been on board with it. It's being reported it's a two-year deal. Again, we have no confirmation from the team on that. For the Browns, you're getting a guy who a team believed was worth three first rounds and a second round pick. You're getting a guy who was the rookie of the year in the National Football League, who for his career has completed about 64% of his passes, averaged 7.6 yards per attempt, 40 touchdown passes, only 23 interceptions. He's been injured, but this is a guy, 26, talented, has not realized his potential in the league. That's why he's in this situation, and the Browns hope with their model that they can take him in here and give him an opportunity. I've said all along, I like it, and because it's low risk, potentially high reward, and I don't think it should, and from the sound of this, they mentioned the draft already in the release about him, it shouldn't impact what the Browns are going to do April 28th in the 2016 NFL draft.
And I agree with exactly what you said. I like the signing as well for the low risk and high reward. And I think what a lot of people might discount, and you kind of talked a little bit about what was given up to allow the Redskins to make the move to draft RG3. And you have to think about it like this. You know, for Browns fans who may want us to go Goff or Wentz at number two and have the pick of the litter at a quarterback from a quarterback standpoint, or the opportunity to take Jalen Ramsey or Joey Bosa, Ezekiel Elliott, and to name the names that make up the top 10 prospects in the NFL draft, because the Cleveland Browns sit at number two, you have the second best opportunity to get the player that you want that will make the biggest impact. And I think we're getting that guy from 4 years ago.
Yep.
At one point, he was the second pick in the NFL draft, and a team happened to give up an awful lot to get there. They liked him so much and his ability to play quarterback in the National Football League to do so. So as we value our number two this year, he was that valuable number two 4 years ago, and now you've accumulated a guy that was drafted in the first round and in the first round for a reason.
And again, you're exactly right, and that's why we have been talking all week. That's why I was in favor of this. I was not in favor of the Colin Kaepernick one. I don't see any potential with Colin Kaepernick. I don't see the potential to be the franchise guy.
And give up assets to acquire.
Right, you got to give up a pick to do it. So as the Browns, as Don Banks saying, the Browns see Griffin as a bridge quarterback to whomever they draft, be it at number two or 32nd, but a young one with enough upside to give them options. Again, I thought all along that this signing had more to do with what this team thought it had at this point in 36-year-old Josh McCown as that bridge quarterback. I think they wanted a guy who could be a bridge quarterback, but could, if you hit it out of the park, be more than that for your franchise, and that's why they go with a guy like RG3. Listen, he is humbled. He is hungry. He was blown away, according to Jeff Darlington, by the meeting that he had with Hugh Jackson. I think it takes the pressure off of any rookie that the Browns draft to come in and start right away. I think that, you know, Hugh Jackson is supposed to be that guy with quarterbacks, and you're betting on Hugh Jackson getting the most out of someone immensely talented who had struggled through injuries and through a very tough situation in Washington. We heard yesterday Jay Gruden say that the stuff about him being a bad guy in the locker room, totally overblown and not his experience with him at all, and that now you have that opportunity with him to come in and compete. It's reported to be a two-year deal. It's not, as I said, low risk, high reward for the Cleveland Browns, and it shouldn't change. If they were never taking a quarterback at two, obviously that should still be the case. If they always were taking a quarterback at two, that should still be the case. Take whoever they think's the best. Shouldn't have anything to do with that. But overall, this is a positive thing. Gibbs?
Yeah.
What was that? Huh?
Okay.
What did we hear, though, so we can give some context to it, if we were supposed to hear it? Oh.
Oh, okay.
That didn't happen on the air. How awesome. That's great. Okay, somebody talking about the RG3 signing.
Know,
but
to go back to your point when you talk about Hugh Jackson, I think in addition to Hugh Jackson, and I've made this point before, Hugh Jackson will be the play caller. Hugh Jackson is the quarterback guru. He will grow whatever quarterback that we draft. But I think the ace up the sleeve, and as you see him play the role that he has in Jared Goff and Carson Wentz's pro day, is going to be Pep Hamilton. Pep Hamilton's ability to be a play caller, as he was in Indianapolis, to work with Andrew Luck hand in hand, there's going to be a heck of a lot of time spent with Hugh Jackson and the quarterback room, don't get me wrong. But Pep Hamilton will be the molding these young men, molding them in their learning of this offense, the nuances of the offense for the rookie quarterback that we do draft at 2 or 32, as well as RG3 in that room. It's going to be on more on Pep than it is on Hugh.
Yes.
So they need Pep is as instrumental in this situation with both RG3 and whoever it is that we draft as much as Hugh Jackson being the guy that he is, because Hugh's responsibility is the offense as a whole.
Yes.
So you have your quarterback playing very well, but if you're struggling at wideout or you're struggling in your run game concepts, who does that fall back on? Your offensive line, your running back coach, but more so than anything, your play caller. And your play caller happens to be your head coach. He needs to wear multiple hats. That leader of men, as we asked when we were without a head coach for 10 days to 2 weeks, is what you kept calling for. We have that. He needs to play that role. So the onus is truly going to fall on Pep Hamilton and his role to develop a young quarterback as well as rejuvenate RG3's career at this point in Cleveland.
Absolutely. And I'd pose this question to people. If you're totally against this, if let's say RG3 doesn't work out, how does that change your quarterback situation right now?
It doesn't.
You still have Josh McCown, who's 36, who's not going to be a long-term answer.
Austin Davis under contract.
Austin Davis is not going to be a long-term answer. Okay?
Every analyst that after this signing, even those Mike Mayock coming following Carson Wentz's is pro day, still saying, you take your guy at 2, you take your guy at 32 with RG3.
If you think, again, what is the downside to this?
There isn't.
You think he's going to be divisive in the locker room? So then you get rid of him. You're not locked into him like a draft pick. It's going to be a two-year deal. The guaranteed money, I'm sure, is not going to be that immense. That's why I don't get this. For people who don't like it, you've seen this guy play at a high level in the NFL. Does he have to adapt his game? Yeah, but he's a very accurate passer. So if you can make him accurate, and Hugh Jackson can take a guy like Andy Dalton, who was throwing it out of what, about 2.6, 2.7 seconds, down to 2.2, that is a massive change. That's
yes.
a massive change.
It is.
So working with Hugh Jackson helped him. So if Hugh Jackson can help RG3, you have a guy with immense talents in here who can give you something. That's why I don't see the downside of this.
And even more so, what I like, and I think it will almost fully eliminate that zone read, athletic quarterback deviating out of the pocket conversation that that many have with RG3 and Colin Kaepernick and Johnny Manziel, that backyard football mentality is, with Hugh and with Pep, putting their offense in while drafting a young quarterback that you're going to want to learn the NFL game and play from the pocket, that's exactly what your expectation is going to be from RG3. That backyard football is not going to be the type of football that Hugh Jackson and Pep Hamilton are going to want to play, so they're going to be able to teach him out of bad habits and coaching him into the right ones that, in my case, I think at 26 years old, allows him the best case scenario to truly have a second career. It's almost like his time in Washington will, you know, be something we sweep under a rug.
Yeah, and listen, don't forget the Baylor connection with Josh Gordon. That could be something positive there. RG3, certainly not a guy. You may say that he didn't have a great attitude in the locker room early in his career, but wasn't a guy who was getting into any off-the-field trouble whatsoever. So RG3 comes to Cleveland. Again, I don't see the downside in it. I see potential upside. He's going to have to develop as a pocket passer. That is the key for anybody who wants to be successful in the National Football League. That's why I like Jared Goff so much. He is more advanced. We heard people talk about it, Mike Mayock, today. More advanced from the pocket already than a guy like RG3. But RG3 is an accurate passer. That's the biggest difference between he and Colin Kaepernick. RG3 can be an accurate thrower of the football. The question will be, can he adapt to Hugh Jackson's offense and get the ball out quickly, consistently, so that he can be successful here? If he can, this is going to turn out to be a great signing. If he can't, it's not going to be. This is the what's the risk? Where are you as with an organization with a quarterback? This is a guy with immense talent. Give him a shot. He's only 26.
Right. And we don't necessarily know the type of investment we've put into RG3 yet, but this is that situation where Browns fans continue to complain about, we have all this money to spend and do nothing with it. And this is one of those situations, like you said, very low risk. So $4, $5, $6, even $7 million you throw into one player. We did that in Dwayne Bowe last year, and it didn't pay off. We now are taking our opportunity to throw mud at the wall and see if it sticks with RG3.
And part of it, listen, at the end of the day, what did you tell me was the most important thing for a player's development, right? It's a two-pronged thing. And I'll give you the first one that you said. I mean, hopefully you'll say the second one, what I want you to say here. First is their commitment to study and film and get better on their own. But who else plays a huge role in the development of a player?
Position coach.
Right. And so for the Browns, you're betting on Pep Hamilton.
Yes.
And Hugh Jackson, who's going to be intimately involved, just like Norv Turner would have been intimately involved with this quarterback down there, to get the best out of RG3.
Yes.
And that's what you're banking on. And if they can do that, you have a world of potential to tap into.
And
if they can't, then he's done, and you can add him to the list of people that didn't do well. But you're not married to RG3. You didn't make a draft investment in him. You gave up no picks. You're not the Redskins who gave up three firsts and a second.
And we'll feel the effects of that for years to come.
You're just a team that's signing a guy that was viewed by the NFL in general to be that talented and hoping that your coaching and a guy who's gotten the best out of quarterbacks everywhere he's been, this is a guy who got the best out of Jason Campbell. He's gotten the best out of Andy Dalton. He helped A.J. McCarron, Carson Palmer. He
got Flacco.
Darryl Flacco. Darius Hayward-Bey, his only 1,000-yard season in the NFL. This is a guy who knows offense.
Yes.
I mean, that was a good offense led by Jason Campbell, Darius Hayward-Bey, Denarius Moore, and Michael Bush, okay? This guy knows offense. So now you're bringing in someone with immense gifts and hoping that he can tap into him. Is RG3 a finished product? Do I think the Browns just landed their savior? Absolutely not. I still am drafting Jared Goff at number two. Nathan Zagura, I am. But you can't deny the talent that is available here and the fact that it comes with no risk and no significant investment whatsoever. That's what you want. That's basically Paul De Podesta in a nutshell. Immense upside, very little risk, right price. Young. Can he maximize that potential with us? That's on him, and that's on the coaches.
Yeah, and I truly feel like this signing, which is, you know, obviously there's, you know, the fanfare that comes with RG3, the hype of him being the second-round pick, the drama that came out of the locker room potentially in Washington that creates the story. But everything that you just talked about analytically, I've always said moves like this and our approach to the offseason is going to become the standard of how the Cleveland Browns do business.
Right. And you mentioned something before we went on from the press release that you liked, that we're going to give him the opportunity to join our organization. You like that wording.
I do. Yeah. The wording to be specific is, what is it? Extend the opportunity
to come in.
It says, after meeting with him, having him work out with us, doing our diligent research, we felt it was right to grant him the opportunity with our organization. To grant him the opportunity, which means that everything is going to be earned here in Cleveland and nothing is just going to be given out or handed away.
Absolutely.
That's contract extensions. That's free agency. That is due diligence to be drafted to wear this uniform from this point forward.
Yeah, and I think it's clearly out there now. 216-578-0850. Let's get your reaction to RG3. Also, Carson Wentz, an impressive pro day today, as most of them typically are. Your thoughts on that? We can talk all things Brown, but obviously the big news today, the Browns have come to terms with free agent Robert Griffin III, and he will join the Browns and be in the building April the 4th. Exciting times here. Again, low risk, high reward. That's the way that I see it. Call me up. Tell me what you think here on CBD.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. The Browns agreeing to terms with Robert Griffin III today. Reports are out there that it's a two-year deal. No confirmation on that from the team. Unlikely to come either, by the way. All right, 216-578-0850 again. 216-578-0850 again. Here's what I've said. I like it. Why? Very little risk. Potential upside of a guy who's immensely talented paired with Hugh Jackson. Again, for me, I don't believe that it is the end of the road at the quarterback position. The Browns are committed to fixing this position. I don't think this should impact their draft plans. If they wanted to draft a quarterback at number two all along, that absolutely still should be the plans. I think this is the start of the quarterback reboot, not the end game. I don't think RG3 is the end game here. I think you still get him and a young guy and say, here's talent. Let's get some talent at that position and see what we can get
out of it. And I would even think, before we take these callers, as you heard from Sashi Brown and Hugh Jackson about the conversations that they had with Robert Griffin III, and you heard, you know, compete and go back and learn and really just want to get started again and start new. And I really hope RG3 comes in with that mentality of wipe what I did and what I didn't do with a clean slate. Because I believe that RG3 and the reason, because what it essentially gives us is it gives us potentially 21 or 23 year old and a 26 year old who's been in the fire before learning new concepts from Pep Hamilton and Hugh Jackson in unison collectively. There's going to be no, well, we're going to do these things for RG3 because he did these things well in Washington, and we're going to do these things with Jared Goff, Carson Wentz, because this is what they excelled at. It's going to be our system. It's going to be part of what we do, the same way that running the power football game is going to be what we do. There's not going to be a lot of zone soft passing concepts up front. No, it's going to be run blocking, power run game. That's who we are. That's what Hugh Jackson is. And I love the fact that he can come in and learn this scheme and hopefully wipe that blank slate, that slate clean from what he has done, both well and bad in the past.
And let me say this, RG3 is going to have to be a different player than he was if he wants to be successful. He is going to have to be able to win from the pocket, process, get the ball out. And that is where the coaching is going to come up, and that's where a lot of his hard work is going to have to come in. He's going to have to be dedicated in the film room. He's going to have to be dedicated studying tape, constantly going through it. And I believe that if that virtual reality stuff should be great for a guy like RG3.
Yes.
Because he can get all those real reps and figure out what to do, what he's seeing, and how to do it with his mind.
And really quick, I know we have loaded phones, but you're so right. Whether we do virtual reality or not, what I look for in being at practice and as a player, I did this, is when you're the quarterback, ask why. When Pep Hamilton runs in and goes, you know, why'd you go here with the football? This is why. I saw this. I saw that. This is why I did this. You know, and then Pep's going to say, well, that's good, but we'd rather. Or Hugh's going to have an influence on where he wants to go with the football. And those questions and understanding why you go, you know, with the football, where you go with the football, down in distance.
Sure.
You know, where the football is on the field. So many things go into playing the quarterback position. I just hope that RG3, as it says in the release, is open and willing to compete and open his mind to relearn everything all over again.
Absolutely. And you know, hopefully we get a chance to talk to him soon, and we will. And I'm going to ask him some of those things about what he's done to improve from the pocket. That's going to be the key for him. That's going to be the key for whether or not he can be successful here and in the NFL again. JJ in Stowe, welcome.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Hey, I just had a quick thing about RG3. I think it's a great signing. Like you said, low risk, you know. I think the money part of the contract is what I'm interested to see. I mean, I think if it's below $5 million, that means they brought him in here to be possibly be a starter, but probably a backup, hopefully, to I want Goff at number two. So, I mean, I think it's a good signing overall, though.
I think that it is upside. Obviously, he didn't do what he had to do to be successful in Washington. If he did, he would not have lost his job to Kirk Cousins. It was not for injury. It was for performance. He's going to have to do it. He is going to have to come out, and he is going to have to learn and get better from the pocket. And I believe Hugh Jackson and Pep Hamilton believe in themselves that they can get the best out of his talent. And RG3 obviously thinks that those guys can get the best out of him. He's going to have to be willing to put in the work. Troy in Zanesville.
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
Good afternoon.
I'm just wondering, how many years is left on Josh McCown's contract right now?
One.
Just one?
Yeah, he's owed about $1 million in guaranteed money.
Okay, well, I could possibly see. I mean, if Hugh Jackson is as good as, you know, is advertised and turning, you know, Jason Campbell and Andy Dalton around, I mean, why can't he do it with RG3 and go ahead and analytically and just go to draft Jalen Ramsey with the second pick and get Cardale Jones in the second round? Wouldn't that make more sense and plus fill more holes for us?
I don't want to look at, and I can't look at, RG3 as the savior. I can't look at him as saying he's the savior, so now I'm changing everything. Now I've got the quarterback position answered. I don't believe that you do. I believe you've got another swing at the plate with a guy who is unbelievable in terms of his potential, but not in terms of what he has delivered on the field. Because if he was, he wouldn't be available for the Cleveland Browns to sign coming off of his rookie contract. Now, I will say this. This is a guy, and now people are coming out and watching. He handled everything like a pro's pro, publicly and privately, last year. Tough, tough situation. He was their practice squad quarterback. He went out there and did everything. They said he was engaged, showing progress in reading and deciphering coverages from the sideline when Cousins was on the field. He's got to do it on the field. Again, he is not the lone option, and that's not what I'm saying, but he is a guy that is an option and that has potential. It shouldn't change the draft plans. That I believe firmly. Did we go to Troy yet, Gibbs? Lynn in Cleveland.
I totally agree. Low risk, high reward. I'm really happy. And one of the reasons, too, is that maybe he gives us a chance to win earlier. And I have a question for you. Which quarterback, Goff or Wentz, do you think fits into Hugh Jackson's offense? And hopefully they can sit and learn if RG3 is good. Just a thought. I'll hang up.
I believe Goff, because of his ability to process, get the ball out quickly and accurately from the pocket, fits more than Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz, strong pro day, looked good. Guy looks the part. Completely. Was responsible for a lot at the line at North Dakota State. Impressive guy. I would be fine with either one of them. Goff, to me, seems to fit a little bit better.
Me too. I do.
Let's go to Scott on a cell. Scott.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good. How are you?
Good. I'm stoked about this. I mean, I wanted this guy 4 years ago when they had a chance to get him. Obviously, we didn't get it. But, you know, with this signing, actually, for the first time since the Browns have been back, they can actually draft a quarterback and let him learn the system instead of rushing him into the fire every time, you know? I just wanted to see what you guys think about that.
Yeah, and the Browns really haven't rushed their guys out there. They just haven't had the guy. Hopefully, they have an opportunity here to get more people. To get more people who have an opportunity to play that position at a high level. And they've gotten one in RG3. Again, it's potential. They cannot, however, pass on a quarterback just because they signed RG3. If they think that,
then I think that I don't think that's the right way to look at it.
No.
I think he is another guy that can come in and compete to be this quarterback for us. He's 26. We've seen him succeed in the National Football League before. He's going to have to adapt if he wants to continue to succeed in the NFL. But we need to go. If we think there's a franchise quarterback in this draft, let's go get him. Let's go get him. And for people who say, if you think you can turn a running quarterback, I just got a tweet right here that I've got to read. Cleveland Fan Forever says, if you believe Hugh can take a running quarterback and make him a pocket passer, do you think he could turn Joe Flacco into a running quarterback? No. No, ridiculous. However, I do think that if he can get to the point where he can read defenses, and they're talking about how he made progress at that in Washington, and continue that, you've got to see. We haven't seen him play football in a year. You're betting on the coaches who are betting on themselves, and then you're betting on the fact that RG3 does have undeniable talent.
Agree.
Yep. There it is.
And I mean, we have the coaches, picture chart, here in the office, and we now know who these coaches are. But as we've said time and time again, this is an accumulation of almost 200 years worth of NFL coaching experience that make up the now Cleveland Browns coaching staff. This is applicable not only to the quarterback position, but every position should get better. So while we may in fact lose valuable talent, Sashi Brown, Paul DePodesta, Andrew Berry make signings like RG3, but what did they say? They're spearheading and their attention is solely focused on what? The draft. Accumulating young talent
Yep.
that you can grow in your backyard with this with these coaches, with this experience around a player like RG3, with the drafting of a Wentz or a Goff at number two, with Josh Gordon being reinstated, with Duke Johnson and Isaiah Crowell both, under the age of 23.
Yep.
Those are the things that 3 years from now has you competing for your division and dominating your division in some cases as they continue to get older.
That's certainly the goal and the hope. Another swing at the plate. 216-578-0850. We'll be back with more RG3 on CBD.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to CBD. By the way, reports in now on the deal for RG3. 2 years, $15 million, signing bonus of $3.5 million, $6.75 million in total guarantees. This is not a massive investment. It goes back to everything. This is a smart deal for the Browns. This is a cheap, cheap, cheap deal. If he hits all of his incentives, it could go up to $22 million, which would be $11 a year.
You know what I like about this even more?
What?
And again, we can get into the details of the money is the Washington Redskins are on the hook to pay Kirk Cousins almost $20 million to play the quarterback position this season.
And the Browns are going to offer RG3 basically if he does everything great that same over 2 years. That's if he hits every incentive in his contract.
Correct.
Again, these are reports. These are reports. Again, low risk, high reward, and you're talking about that right now. By the way, Adam Schefter saying, signing RG3, not expect to have any impact on what Cleveland does in the draft. A quarterback is still expected to be the pick. Bra effing a vo. I forgot the vo. I was going to go brow. Bra effing vo. Bravo. Exactly. Good.
But you know what, though? There are and you have to trust Schefter. You have to trust his word in many cases. But there are still many people, and this is just it'll be a topic of conversation from this point moving forward until, April 27th or whatever that Thursday is, that the signing of RG3 now gives you the opportunity to go best player available at 2.
Yes. Yes. Somebody says, hey, at Loyal Cleveland, you said this is high risk, low reward. Call us up and tell us why that is. Let's go to Pumpkinhead on the phones now. Pumpkinhead. Pumpkinhead, are you excited about this?
I'm excited. I wanted to start off my call by saying thank you, Cleveland Browns. Welcome to Cleveland RG3. I'm very excited. I think this is a high, intelligent move. It's a boom or bust, in my opinion. I want to conclude my call by saying now go get this guy some weapons in the draft, and let's go and get some excitement at First Energy Stadium this year. Thanks, guys.
Thank you very much. Yes, Chris in Columbus.
Hey, Matt. Hey, Nathan.
Yes, hi.
I called you guys maybe a couple of days ago, and I said that I think it would be great for them to get RG3 at a two-year deal, and that's exactly what they did, so I'm very excited. But I still, and I know you guys didn't agree with me when I called in, but I still don't understand why we would still draft a quarterback high, because I just feel if we draft a quarterback high, especially in Cleveland, it's just going to cause controversy to where everybody's grumbling for the high draft pick to get in the game.
And Ben, who's everybody? Is everybody the fan base, or is it Hugh Jackson, Pep Hamilton, Al Saunders, Andrew Berry, Sashi Brown complaining to be right?
No, that's a great point, man. I would just hope that, you know, the coaches don't buy into what the fans are saying, like other regimes have done. But it's hard not to.
I understand.
And I just see this team has so many holes that we need to just build through the draft. And just basically tell RG3, you're the man for 2 years. We're going to build a team around you. And then if he doesn't pan out, we have that team in place for the next quarterback to come in and take us to the playoffs. That was my point.
Thank you so much for the call. And you've given us a great topic to take a conversation in a whole different direction. So you make a great point. But what I wouldn't want is the perfect storm to allow me to compete to win my division and get into the tournament to compete for a trophy. And because RG3 didn't work out, okay, we're already setting that up to fail, but we've accumulated the talent, we have the team to compete for the division, you're then going to go, how are you going to accumulate or draft that young franchise quarterback to play with the table that has been set? Or are you going to go out there and spend $16-plus million for any free agent that hits the market that year to be all in with that team?
See, I think you need to find the quarterback. RG3 might be in the best world scenario, could be that guy.
But, and you hope he is.
You hope he is, sure. But at the same time, you keep putting assets towards this. You keep trying to go ahead and get that guy. So if you believed all along, this should not change the draft board one bit. That's all I care about. Don't let this affect your draft board, because if you are taking a quarterback at two, that means you fully believe that they are your franchise quarterback, and you've got that person here for 5 years. RG3 is under a two-year deal with $6 million guaranteed. Do you know what that means? It's really a one-year deal.
Yes.
So if he wants to be here for 2 years, he's going to have to play well.
And I think some of the insight that Mayock gave from Carson Wentz's pro day following Carson Wentz throwing with the news that RG3 had been signed, so more so than anything, he was talking about RG3. He referenced the Seattle Seahawks and their situation.
Yep.
Trading for Matt Flynn, paying the money that they did, but because they didn't have their guy at the quarterback position, it was asset, 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 until it figured itself out. Which it naturally will. If you accumulate talent and you accumulate players that you believe can play that position at a high level, and RG3 was drafted to do so, did that for a period of time, and then fell out of grace, and a lot of it was performance-driven with Pep Hamilton, with Hugh Jackson, and I really think that whoever you draft at 2 or 32 at quarterback, again, learning in unison allows them the best opportunity to compete. A guy that has experience, but in a different type of offense, relearning, you know, Hugh Jackson's offense in the National Football League, and a young player and their ability to grasp this offense. I said it yesterday, survival of the fittest. You got the second overall pick and the second overall pick 4 years apart competing to play quarterback at a high level for your franchise.
Yep.
And what is it costing you?
Yep.
You'll still at that point, have $14 million potentially in 1 year thrown at the quarterback position between, you know, McCown, RG3, and your second overall pick, maybe 20 total. And the Washington Redskins have one player,
right,
at 19 on a franchise tag. That's franchise for a reason and not under a $90 million deal for a reason.
And by the way, everybody who's worried about, you know, well, this rookie's going to come in and he's going to get shell-shocked behind the offensive line. By the way, last year, the Browns gave up the second most sacks in the NFL behind that offensive line. So if you think that that's going to be, you know, you're going to go get this rookie killed, it'd be like David Carr all over again. Well, now you don't have to. You don't have to put him in, and you have somebody. By the way, for everybody, well, RG3 could get hurt. Josh McCown did get hurt.
Johnny Manziel, in 14 with the same offensive line, did get hurt.
So to me, it just is looking at, you know, okay, you have RG3 here, young talent potential, and he's going to have. He's got incentives in his contract to play well. If he does, you can bring this number one guy along slowly. If he doesn't and this number one guy outplays him a la Russell Wilson, you can put them in there. You're going to have the opportunity to develop two young guys with potential, with talent.
Correct. And here's the one thing that I think a lot of people are discounting is Pep Hamilton and Hugh Jackson's professionalism to not allow either of these two quarterbacks to be set up to fail and get hurt. Meaning, and you constantly reference it, their ability to get rid of the football in a timely manner, efficiently, and accurately. If our offensive line doesn't allow us the ability to throw intermediate or deep routes a heavy chunk of the time, it's not going to be in our game plan. It's not going to be in Hugh Jackson's nature. Will you potentially take your shots? Of course you have to, right? But we're not going to, we're not analytically, as a coach, this has nothing to do with crunching numbers or spreadsheets of any manner. If you struggle with something, and it goes back to my conversation about if you study Cam Newton, what does he struggle with? Can we force him into those situations more as a defense in a Super Bowl, in a football game that we want to go out and win? Hugh Jackson and Pep Hamilton will play to the strengths of these young men. They will play to the strengths that our receivers run best. They will play to the strengths that our offensive line, the concepts and blocking concepts and schemes that they block up best. Will it ever be ideal? No. Until you draft your own people and grow as a unit together year after year. And that's why you see the same teams competing to hoist that trophy every year. The turnover is very low.
Very low. And let me ask you this as well. How influential can a coach be? Everybody's, oh, well, we're going to have a controversy here. When's the last time the Browns had a strong head coach like Hugh Jackson? I don't think Hugh Jackson is going to let there be a quarterback controversy.
I don't think so either. I think you can, let's just go back. Mike Pettine, I would say no. Chudzinski, I would say no. Shurmur, I would say no. The only one that may be in question is maybe Mangini was set up to be that guy coming from the Patriots system and having been a head coach prior.
Yes.
That might be the only one.
That would be the only one. And now you have a guy that this is what he's supposed to do. By the way, Josh Gordon saying, RG3, congrats, brother. Almost forgot we perfected the deep ball down in Waco. Show him how it's done. Hashtag sick'em. Hashtag at BU football. Again, if we had gotten RG3 4 years ago, this place would have gone bonkers. Now we're getting him for literally no risk. What's the risk? That it's going to hurt the feelings of somebody that we draft number two? I don't think so at all.
No.
And I don't think that RG3 is a sideshow. Did Kirk Cousins suffer this year because of the RG3 sideshow? Or did Kirk Cousins go out there and play the best football of his life? Did RG3 do everything
was asked of him? $19 million guaranteed.
Right.
Didn't have to go that way.
He's not. This isn't Johnny Manziel.
No.
This is a completely different thing. This is a guy who I think sees, okay, I've got an opportunity again, and I'm going to try to make the best of it. I don't understand the negativity, and I don't understand why if RG3 being here to compete with somebody scares people. I don't get it. I don't understand why. All right, Jeff Darlington from NFL Network is going to join us at 2 o'clock. We'll be back with more of your phone calls as we wrap up our first hour here. RG3 to the Browns. It's official today.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Let's go ahead and go back to the phone lines. 216-578-0850. We've got Chris in Columbus, Neil in Akron. Neil.
Hello, how's everybody doing?
Good,
hey,
how are
brother,
you?
How are you?
In my honest opinion, right when I found out that they were having issues with RG3 in Washington, I was telling people this is who Cleveland should get because this is the kind of person that Cleveland needs. Because let's be honest, when has a drafted quarterback ever worked out for Cleveland? I mean,
it hasn't.
Never. Exactly. Tim Couch was probably the best one. People will probably deny that, but he was just in a bad situation.
He was in a bad situation.
And either Cleveland, I would start with RG3, and I would keep Josh McCown, and I would draft a quarterback in the second round. Not as a first overall pick, but as a second pick in the second round.
To me, it's a matter of – it can't change your draft board. This should not change your draft board one bit. Can't do it. That's it. No draft board. Doesn't change it.
Right, and that doesn't
–
but to allow fans the opportunity to understand that, okay, it doesn't change your draft board. Hugh Jackson is probably on his way to an airplane, leaving North Dakota to head back to Cleveland, right? And – what he evaluated at the pro day of Carson Wentz, I believe to understand that they won't attend Paxton Lynch's, and therefore they're going to come home and put together and essentially finalize that draft board. And maybe does anything from the pro day from what they've seen change it, but it should stay the same. And you run your course wherever you graded Jared Goff and Carson Wentz following their pro days is exactly where they should sit with the signing of RG3.
Yes, exactly. Should it, no bearing whatsoever. 216-578-0850. Again, Jeff Darlington will join us at 2. We will have RG3 talking to the media in the second hour, and then hopefully a little RG3 CBD.
Be nice.
Want some sound from what the experts are saying?
Sure. Well,
do we have Dan and Hershey Pa?
Well, we got to wait because we just – dumped everything, so we have to ramp the delay back up just in case.
How long does that take?
It takes a few seconds.
Okay.
Yeah, we can wait. Hey, you guys can stall.
All right, go ahead and give us a little sound. Go ahead. What do you want?
Todd McShay, how does RG3 affect the Browns' draft plans?
I've heard from people that Cleveland prefers Goff over Wentz, and I've heard that they prefer Wentz over Goff. I've also heard that they don't think either is worth drafting at number two, so which I would understand. I have a late first-round grade on both of these guys.
Both Goff and Wentz.
Right, so... you know, in a class that's not great, they're going to get bumped up, and quarterbacks always do get bumped up. But I would understand if they passed there and took a quarterback in the second round. My whole point was that if they decide that they like one of these two, take them. This should not change that at all because both of these quarterbacks, as I said, need some time to develop. And instead of throwing them in the fire and potentially harming them like we've seen with a lot of young quarterbacks, I think you put them in a situation where they don't start the first six games, maybe they don't start the whole year, and they can learn the proper way by watching and adjusting and learning things in practice.
Exactly. Exactly. Well said, Todd McShay. Let's go to Dan and Hershey Pa. Hershey, welcome.
Wow, how about free agency now?
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I called you guys the other day, and my comment was that I thought Robert Griffin would want to go to a place where he could start. And because of that, I wasn't really sure he would want to come to Cleveland. And so I think what this really says is a lot about Hugh Jackson and the brain trust at Cleveland, that someone like this would want to come here, I think, because it's a recruiting process, isn't it? I mean, this is awesome.
Apparently, and we'll talk with Jeff Darlington about it, but Jeff Darlington reported that the meeting that he had here with Hugh Jackson and Pep Hamilton inspired him. And we'll get the story about that and that meeting at 2 o'clock there. Again, I don't think this changes anything. RG3, the deal that he signed, by the way, same as Chase Daniel. And people are praising the Eagles for signing Bradford, signing Chase Daniel. And then many people think the Eagles are going to draft a quarterback early as well. Because why? They want to get that guy, and they're going to let people compete. Are people afraid of Chase Daniel competing with Sam Bradford or a guy that they draft? No.
No, and I don't believe, and you figure, you know, look at that division in general. You got Kirk Cousins on the franchise tag. You got the Philadelphia Eagles pouring assets into the quarterback position. You've got Jerry Jones, you know, rumored to say that they're not interested in a quarterback at 4 because they have Tony Romo, who's got a few years left. But eventually they're going to have to go, you know, get in the game to get a replacement for Tony Romo, as will the New York Giants.
Absolutely. It's a cycle that goes and goes and goes. 216-578-0850. Melvin in Cleveland. Melvin.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
I have this kid that I like. Hackenberg from Penn State. What do you guys think about him, Nate?
Well, first, let me ask you this. What do you like about him? Because every time I watch him, I think he stinks.
He's gritty. I don't think he had help over there. He didn't have no kind of help, but he's a tough kid.
He had Allen Robinson for a couple years.
Listen, this is what he'll say to me about Hackenberg. I don't love him, but if the Houston Texans don't – the Houston Texans could have drafted him for sure. Bill O'Brien coached him, and they went out and paid Brock Osweiler crazy money. So that says something to me. Now, we'll see if they take him to be the backup or maybe compete, but right, that says something to me. Darren in Cleveland, welcome.
Hello?
What's up, Darren?
3, 2, 1, missed your chance.
All right. There it is. Jeff Darlington coming up next, 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850. And from the tweets, it certainly is to me a lot of kind of, it's mixed and not to be expected with the Browns fan base. Browns fans aren't going to unanimously get excited about anything or pan anything either because they're the optimists above it. Again, I am in no way, shape, or form saying that this is the answer. I am saying I believe this is a good, low-risk, high-reward investment on someone that everybody in the NFL agrees is talented. Can Hugh Jackson, Pep Hamilton, and RG3 himself commit to the work that is going to be necessary to get him more proficient from the pocket? And if the answer to that is yes, then I think the Browns have got a very good signing on their hands. And we know from the deal that is being reported out there, not a lot of risk, not a lot of investment there for the Browns in RG3. Gives them an opportunity to develop a guy slowly if they want to do that. All right, 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850. That's going to be for hour number two. Coming up, Jeff Darlington from NFL Network. He is with us right after this.